Here we go. The Mishnah on the top of the side, some said I'm on Aleph. Says Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yucholim Mamzerim Li Taher. I have a methodology, I have a way to take care of the problem of Mamzer. Okay, that. So you have a Mamzer, Shinasa Shifcha. If a Mamzer marries a Shifcha, what did we learn yesterday? We learned yesterday that the Vlada is Kimota. Right, that when you marry a Shifcha, there is no Kiddushin. When there's no Kiddushin, the child goes after the mother. So that would be after the Shifcha, there, Havlad Eved. The son becomes a Eved. Then, Shichoro, once if you free the Eved, Nipta Haben Ben Chorin. You free that Eved, then he's a free person and he has no taint, he has no Mamzerut. Rabbi Eliezer Zomer heard the Eved Mamzer. That doesn't help you, because that doesn't get rid of that taint of Mamzerut, and the Gemara is going to discuss what Rabbi Eliezer's position is. So now, Ibai Luhu, Rabbi Tarfon Lechatchilo Kamar, O the Eved Kamar. Is Rabbi Tarfon making a suggestion that people should try to do this, meaning this is a solution to the problem of Mamzerut? Or you think, if someone did this, right, that it does help the situation?
I would say, Right.
Well, there's going to be marrying a shifcha might be a problem even before we get to shifcha or Eved. Right, Tashma, I'm a little Rabbi Tarfon. Tiharta et hazikhari, velo tiharta et nekevot. Right, you took care of the males, which you didn't do is take care of the females. V'amar lechatchilo kamar. If you say that he means to do this, this is a chatchil, this is a situation, you can create such situations. Mamzeret nami tinasi v'la'abdom. Right? Why can't the Mamzeret also marry an Eved? Now, what is the restriction? The restriction, right, is that the Torah says, Lo tiye kadesh, right? Velo tiye kadesha, velo tiye kadesh v'bnei Yisrael. Right? So, the Targum there, and the interpretation of Chazal means that you can't marry an Eved, and you can't marry a Shifcha Kenanit. So Rashi says over here that Shifcha harei kebehema, as we've seen a number of times, ubiotah hefker v'kadeshut. Right, her bia is hefker v'kadeshut, there is no kiddushin there. There's a din of, right, lo tiye kadesha b'Yisrael, and therefore, you're in violation of that. So if the Eved, I'm sorry, if the man can marry a Shifcha, and we don't worry about him violating the lav, right, the v'lo tiye kadesha, then why do we worry about, right, the girl or mamzeret marrying an Eved? There the problem would be lo tiye kadesh, right, that you can't marry a male Eved. So if that's the problem, if it's equal, meaning that why doesn't it work either way? So that's what the Gemara says. Eved ein lo chayis. The problem is that the solution doesn't work for females. It's not because she's restricted from marrying the Eved, but if she marries the Eved, it doesn't help her at all. Because an Eved doesn't have any yuchus. If the Eved doesn't have any yuchus, then that doesn't take off or remove the Mamzerus. Because then the lineage or the offspring are going to remain with her and not with the Eved. So Mar says, Tashma, Dush Bezichne de Rabbi Simlai, Mamzer Havo. Right, his regular bed and breakfast where he stayed, Rabbi Simlai, then the owner was a Mamzer. Ramalei, Ikad Matach, had I known before you got married, right, Taratino Livnech, I would have cleaned up your whole situation here. Right, so, Iyamar, Bishlamo Lechatchila Shapir. If you say the Chatzchila, that makes sense, and Shapir, then it makes sense that Rabbi Simlai is saying to him, look, I could have cleaned up the situation for you. Right, Eliyamar, Dieved, right, Mayu. Right, what's the story here? If it's only been the Eved, how could Rabbi Simlai propose to him, I could have cleaned up your situation here? And then he's making a proposition to him, which would have said, had you come to me before you married your wife currently, I could have solved your problem. That indicates that he thinks there's less of a chatzila solution. Right? So if you say it's the Eved, what type of solutions he could present to him? Or says, yeah, I could. But he could present him a, what? The minzav le eitza. Barmer le zil gino. He said to him, I'll give you some advice. Go out and steal. Right? So why? Once you go out and you steal, they'll catch you, right? And then you won't have money to repay. Viz the bin beved ivri. Right? And then you will be sold as an eved ivri. Why is that important? Alright, so the importance of this is what we saw earlier in the Masechta. When it came to an eved ivri, there are different types of eved ivri. There's an eved ivri who is sold because of his gneva. Or that an Eved Ivri is sold because of his own personal financial situation, right? His own personal financial troubles. So we said there, the Gemara differentiated that Machrua Beis Din, that if the Beis Din sells him, Moser lo Shifcha Knanit, then you can give him a Shifcha Knanit. Whereas if he sells himself, then he's not entitled to marry a Shifcha Knanit. So So because of that, the preference over here is to have him be sold as an Eved Ibri. Not that he sells himself as an Eved Ibri, but steal, and then have himself sold as an Eved Ibri. Okay, so that is the problem. Both Tosfos quotes Rashi, but Rashi raises the issue that Shaul's raising. How is this better than the previous situation? Like the previous situation, we said, all right, how could he advise him to marry a Shifcha if that is problematic? Of course, there's no problem. It is problematic, but he told him to steal instead. Right, so what type of advice is he giving him? So that's Rashi says over here that the Gemara could have answered that, but the Gemara has a better answer. Truthfully, the Gemara could have questioned that, and the reason the Gemara didn't necessarily question that is because there's an alternative. The Gemara could have said it's according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, early in the Masechta, told us that even if one sells themselves, they can also take a Shifcha Kenani. So because of that, a person could have sold himself into being an Ibri, and then be able to marry a Shifcha Kenani, only according to Rabbi Eliezer, but at least, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would have been a solution. But either way, the Gemara has a better question than stealing is a bad thing to do, which is, Ubishanei, the Rabbi Simlai, Ibri Rimi Hava. Alright, what type of solution is this? Because Eved Ibri did not exist at the time. The institution of Eved Ibri didn't exist at the time of Rabbi Simlai. Why? Bamamar, ain't Eved Ibri Noheg, Elubizman Shal Yogal Noheg. Right? That there is a parallel between the Yovel existing and Eved Ibri existing, because it says by the Eved Ibri that he can, right, go out, Ada Yovel, Akshat Yovel, Yavodimcha, Arimach. So he's allowed to work with you until the Shnata Yovel. So only if you can establish that type of institution that allows an Eved Ibri to go free on the Yovel, would there be an institution of Eved Ibri? If there's no Yovel, there is no Eved Ibri. I mean, what type of solution are you suggesting? In the time of Rabbi Simai, there is no Eved Ibri. That's not a solution. El Alav, Shmamina, Rabbi Tarfon L'chatzkila Kamar, Shmamina. That's mother. All right. Shifcha Kenanit you can look at it in two ways. One way is take it head on, go marry a Shifcha Kenanit, and that's it. The other way is put yourself in a situation where you could marry an Eved Ibri, a Shifcha Kenanit, which is b'dieved, meaning that we don't allow you to marry her, but once you're in it being an Eved Ibri, then you're entitled to marry her. So that's it. So Mark concluded that we can't come up with a solution like that. It must be that Rabbi Tarfon according to Rabbi Simlai, was saying, you're allowed to marry a Shifcha Kenanit. The reason it does not apply to Mamzeret is not because of the Easter issue, but the problem of it doesn't solve the problem. Because there's no Eved doesn't have a chayiv, and the Eved is not going to give you a solution to the problem. Marrying the Eved, so you can still end up with the Yichud following the... Right now,
is there any discussion in Shas besides this as to whether or not you're allowed to marry Shifcha Kenanit?
Yeah, it's problematic because of this problem of Kadesha. There's a lot, it's a lot in the Torah. Marry them.
In Torah do we have where a lav is forgiven so that you can go ahead and...
The restriction of lo yeh kadesh, you'll narrow the application only to a kasher b'Yisrael, is considered part of Kal Hashem. The mamzer is not part of Kal Hashem, will not be restricted in the Yisr of lo yeh kadesh. That's how you solve that problem.
So why would I say you can do it?
No, you have to interpret it that way. That's not so obvious that you interpret lo yeh kadesh that way. It's not so... Lo yeh kadesh might be a blanket Yisr on anybody. To say that it's narrowed only to those that are in part of Kal Hashem, right, that are inside of Kal Hashem, that's a bigger chiddush. But that's what you have to say. You have to say that Rabbi Tarfon believes that the issue of Lo Yeh Kadesh only applies to people who are shavim. That's what you have to say. And the Tosfos Reb Tzadkin points out over here that we saw earlier in the Masechta that there's a din of Im Bigapo Yavo, Bigapo Yisei. That the only way that the Adon is allowed to give a Shifcha Kenanit to the Eved Ibri is if he's already married. He has to have a previous wife. He has a wife, a Jewish, an Israeli's wife. If he comes to marry, then he's allowed, the Adon's allowed to give him a Shifcha Kenanit. If he's not married, then Bigapo Yabo, Bigapo Yisei. He comes in, single, goes out, single, he's not married. Now, Rabbi Simlai's advice over here, right, was, if you had told me before you were married,
yeah,
right, I would have given you, I told you to go, be an Eved Ibri, and then get married. What do you mean? He's now a single guy. It's being sold in as an Eved Ibri, right? We saw it before in the Gemara that doesn't, you can't have a Shifcha Kenanit in that day. So the Dozeria Zokin brings from he brought down from the Taz in Parashat Mishpatim, and he proves from this that what our Gemara said earlier on, that an Adon can't give an Eved Ibri a Shifcha Kenanit when he's single, is that means that the Adon can't force the Eved Ibri to do it. But if the Eved Ibri agrees, that he could do it even if he wasn't married. And based on this Gemara, that's what he proves it from. Because you see from this Gemara that Rabbi Simlai is going to put him in a position before he was married to to be an Eved Ivri, and then entitled to take a ship called Kanani. So if he was willing to do it on his own volition, the doctor says it's clear that he could do it. Only the question that the Gemara dealt with earlier, that only if he was married prior could he take a ship of Kananis, is only if he was, right, forcing him. He's saying that Adon was demanding of him that he takes a ship of Kananis. But if he acquiesces to it, then even if he went in single, he could take a ship of Kananis. So now, what is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? Rabbi Eliezer married the Eved Mamzer. I'm Rabbi Eliezer, my time is Rabbi Eliezer. What's the position of Rabbi Eliezer? I'm a Kral. The Pasuk says, by Mamzer, right, lo yavo lo bikal Hashem. That he's not allowed to join Kal Hashem. Lo, halach achar lo, that you follow after the psul of the father. So that means that despite the fact that the person is marrying a shifka kananit, the psul of mamzerus stays with the father and it continues down to the child. Rabbanon. So what do Rabbanon do with this lo here? How would be yisrael sunasa mamzeret? It has to do with a regular yisrael that marries a mamzeret. Salkadat chamina. I would have thought the mishpuchutam leveitavutam. That Yichus follows the father. So over here you have a father who is a Yisrael regular, marrying a Mamzeret. So if you would look at the children, you would think the children are fine. Right, Steve, right? So that's what it says. Atalo, Afke. So Lo comes along and says, no. In that situation, the children are still Mamzeret, despite the fact that Yichus follows the father. Over here, where he marries the Mamzeret impacts the children, and they will be Mamzeret. Rabbi Lezer, Lava Vagabis Tablamish Chotan Levetotam, Atalo, Afke. So we see just like the fact that Yichus in general follows the father, and nevertheless when you marry a Mamzeret, the Lo comes in and says, don't listen to the father of Yichus, follow Mamzeret. Hachanami, Avagav, Dichtiva, Yishav, Eladet, the others are now, at the Lo Afke. So even though in general the principle is that the woman and the children are all considered Knanaim, right? They're called Shifkan, Avadim, Knanaim, because the mother and the children are all in the same category, they belong to the Adon. So nevertheless, Lo should come along and tell you that despite that fact, that the mamzerus of the father should continue down to the child. So Mar says, Rabbanan, kovlad b'mei shivcha kananit, kovlad b'mei behemat ami. Right, this is a statement we've seen recurring and recurring and recurring, that any vlad that is in the womb of a shivcha kananit has no status as a quote-unquote human. You can't classify it as somebody who can have yichud fall down from the father, because that is not, right, a continuation of the zera of the father. And that the classification of a shifcha kananit, and we've seen this before, and the children of shifcha kananit, all classified as ama domei lachamor, classified as the quote-unquote of beima. Rashi mentioned it before with the bia of the shifcha, right, that they're biotah, hefker, and that they are kadeshot. I mean, that the status is so far removed from the parsha of yichus, that we don't even discuss yichus, because they're in a different category. They're not even in the category where we get to the point where you're going to discuss yichus. And therefore the lo here can't come and be applied to her children, because her children aren't considered quote-unquote children, you know, in that sense. Alright, so now, this Gemara here, this finishing off here in the Gemara, at the end of the Perek Tereshkishi, now comes into the next Perek, which is the Perek about Yuchsin. Right? And here we're going to begin, it begins pretty easily, and then it's going to get more complicated, but the Gemara is going to begin here discussing the different levels of Yichus and different categories of what people can be in. Asara Yuchsin. There are 10 Yuchsin, Shalu mi Bavel. Gemara is going to discuss what does it mean, the Alu mi Bavel, that came out of Bavel. Right here, they were going to Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. Right, there's 10 of them came. Kohane is one. Leviyeh, Vyisraeli. Right, so those are three of them, basic Kohen Yisrael Levi. Now, next we get into Yerei, right, those that are converts. Vichirurei, Chirurei are freed slaves, right, Shifcha Kanani, Debi Kanani. I skipped Chalalei, which are Kohanim, Chalalim, right? Kohanim who somehow there was a improper marriage with for a Kohen that generated a Kohen Chalal. So these are Kohanim, Chalalim, Gerei, right? Those are converts, Bechavurei, Evan, and Shifcha that were freed, Mamzerei, right? Mamzerim. Nitinei are people from the Gibonim. People from the Gibonim who were at a separate classification. They came to convert in the time of Yoshua. And later on, David was gozer on them that they should be, right, that they're considered outside the klal, number one. And number two is that they worked for the Mikdash. They served in the Mikdash. They used to bring wood and water to the Mikdash. Shtuki, Vasufi, which are undefined here. Silent and gathered in. The Gemara of the Mishnah, we'll discuss that in a second. Right, so now, Kohane, Leviyeh, Vyisraeli, when it comes to those categories, Mutarim lo bo zeh bazeh, they can marry each other. Meaning that all three of those, Kohane, Leviyeh, Yisrael, they can intermarry, no questions asked, no problem. Leviyeh, Yisraeli, Chalalei, Gerei, Mechurei, Mutarim lo bo zeh bazeh. Now, when it comes to, if you leave out Kohanim, and you deal with Levim and Yisraelim, they can marry not only Levim and Israel, other Israelim and Levim, but they can marry Chalalei Kohanim. Chalalim are not a problem for Israel. There's no restriction against them. I mean, the possible that the child will be, if it's a male Kohen Chalal, that the child will also be a Chalal Kohen. But nevertheless, they're permitted to marry a Kohen Chalal. Converts, Gerim, they're allowed to marry. And Charei, Shifchat Rani, they're an Eved that were freed, are allowed to marry Israel. There's no problem. Kohanim are not allowed to marry in these categories of Ger and Shechrur because of the problem of Zonah. Right, that by Chalal there's a restriction against the Kohen marry a Chalal. That restriction remains. And number two is, by Ger and a Shechrur Eved, those are problems of Zonah. Right, they have a classification of Zonah, and therefore a Kohen cannot marry from that category. So if you leave Kohanim out, then these categories can all intermarry. Return level opens is that. Next statement, next grouping. Gerei, Cherurei, Mamzerei, Venitinei, Shtukei, Vasufei, Kulam, Mutarim, Levol, Bezebezeb. So that if you leave out Levim, Yisraelim, all the other Psulim can intermarry. They can all get exchanged or move around. Now you have to make, just from a basic understanding over here, that you have to believe, right, that number one, that the Kal Gerim is not considered a Kahal.
Right? Gerim is the
right. So there's a machlokas we're going to see in a second. There's a machlokas, I don't know what to say today. So machlokas whether Gerim qualified to be part of Kahal Hashem, right, or not Kahal Hashem. I mean, they're Jews, they're full Jews, but are they Kahal Hashem? Because the restrictions for marrying these other individuals, like a mamzer, for instance, is lo yavol bi Kahal Hashem. So you have to be qualified or classified as Kahal Hashem. So if you're classified as Kahal Hashem, you'd be restricted. So it depends. Is Kahal Gerim classified as Kahal Hashem? If they are classified as Kahal Hashem, they'll have the same restrictions. They'll have to be in the list with the Israelim. If they're not classified as Kahal Hashem, then they are permitted to marry Mamzerim and all the others that are restricted from the Kahal Hashem, which is exactly what you're seeing in this Mishnah here. Right, number one. That's number one. Number two is, you have to say that the restriction to be a Shtuki and a Sufi, who are, we're going to see in a second, safek. They have a safek mamzerim. You have to say over here that, again, the permission or permissibility of marrying those types of mamzerim for like to marry a regular mamzer is that the restriction against marrying a mamzer is only if it's a batei mamzer. If it's a safek mamzer, then that they're not classified as Kahal Hashem anymore. And so again, they can marry regular mamzerim. Right, so those are the two assumptions you have to make based on this last category of the Mishnah, is that all these psulim can marry each other. Because number one, Kal Gerim is not considered a Kal. And number two is that if you're a Suffolk Mamzer, you're also not restricted against marrying a Vadai Mamzer. Okay, those are the two things you get from here. So now, Bigmar says, what is a Shtuki? Elohim Shtuki. What is a Shtuki? Koshi Makirat Imo, he knows his mother. Veinu Makirat Aviv, but he doesn't know his father. What's in a Sufi? A Sufi is Koshi Ne'asaf Minashuk. Veinu Makir. Here he doesn't know either parent. He is not eligible about either parent. You go to Shtuki of Duki because you needed, Gemara is going to explain this, but you needed to check up after them. Maybe it was somebody that you needed to find out what exactly they're. Asar Yuchsin Alumi Bavel. What does it mean there? Asar Yuchsin Alumi Bavel. So my area at the time of Alumi Bavel. Nitnei Hokul Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that they were going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Why did the Mishnah determine it to be that they left Bavel? How do they say that they went to Eretz Yisrael? So Milta Gavorche Kamashman. Mission is teaching us a side thing. That is what? Kedatania, the Kampel, Lita Lama Komashim, Karshim Lokech, Lamed, Shabbat Mikdash, Gavua, Mikol Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael, Gavua, Mikol Aratos. That teaches that the Beit Mikdash is the highest point in Eretz Yisrael. That Eretz Yisrael is the highest point amongst the other lands. Bishkama, Beit Mikdash, Gavua, Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we understand. We know. Where do we know that? From the Beit Hamikdash is the highest point. There's Yisrael who dichtiv divrei rivot b'sharecha. Right, that if you have altercations right in your local neighborhood, the kamta v'alita l'makom Hashem yivchar Hashem, then you'll go up to the place that Hashem chose. So that tells you that from wherever your sharecha are, it's for kamta v'alita that you must go up. Right, you must ascend to that place. Ela Eretz Yisrael gvo mikol eretzot min olam. How do you know that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all other lands? Dichtiv, v'chein, hinei, yamim ba'im nu Hashem. There are days that are coming. Lo yemar od, chay Hashem, chay Hashem alive, b'nei tov me'eretz Yisrael, ki him. Chay Hashem, asher lit, v'asher divid, b'nei tov me'eretz Tzafon, and mikol eretzot asher yidachtim sham. Right, that there will come a time where you'll no longer say, wow, you know, let's give praise or hoda'ah l'Hashem, or the Hashem who took us out of Mitzrayim, but rather, so the Hashem who took us out of the places of the north and to the other places where we have been, right, spread out to. So it sounds from here that what? It sounds from Eretz Tzafon and all the other Eretzot, it says we're going to give praise to Hashem, Asher He'ela Otanu, right? That took us out, up, elevated us, lifted us up from those places back to Eretz Yisrael. So He'ela over there indicates that you're going up, right, from those locations. So that teaches you that Eretz Yisrael is Vu'ah Mikor Atot. Anyway, this is a little bit Minyona Diyoma, by the way, Parshat Shavua. Because in Parshat Shavua, we just had that Yaakov's name got changed to Yisrael. So the Gemara in the Gemara at the end of the first paragraph in Brachot has an argument about whether there's a din of Yitzias Mitzrayim the Lelos. Right? The Gemara there has a machlok between the Chachamim and Ben Zoma, whether you say Yitzias Mitzrayim at during the obligation to say during the day and during the night, or the obligation to say during the day and the Milta Mashiach. Right? So the proof, right? One of the proofs that Ben Zoma brings is this pasuk. That in the future, you're not going to talk about Hashem who takes you out of Mitzrayim. You're going to talk about Hashem who took you out of Eretz Tzafon and Nechol Eretz Yedeshay Dichtin Shem. That no longer you have to mention that Mitzrayim is not going to be the thing. So the Chachamim answered back. Their answer back is, it's the same thing as Yaakov. It says, Lo Yemer Yaakov, Israel. It says, you won't be called Yaakov, but Israel. And yet we see afterwards in the Torah that Yaakov is called both Yaakov and Israel. What does it mean? It means that your Ikar name will be Israel. Your Tafel name will be Yaakov, and that's the answer here. The entire praise will go to the new Geula, but there'll still be mention of the Geula from Mitzrayim. Anyway, just mention it happens to be the Parshat Shavua. Alright, so now, we have the Gemara asked a question. Maya Yiriya, the Tanu Alu mi Bavel. Why does it say that they came out of Bavel? Nitnu, Alu, the Eretz Yisrael. You could have come up with the same side note. That going up there to Israel didn't mention what they left, but rather that they went up to Eretz Yisrael. So why does it mention Bavel? That they left Bavel rather than going up, ascending to Eretz Yisrael. So when it says, Misaylei the Rabbi Elazar, it helps Rabbi Elazar, Damar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Ala Ezra mi Bavel, Hashasa Kisolet Nikiyah Vala. But when Ezra left Bavel, he realized that he was taking the prime Talmidei Chachamim, the best of the crop. So when he did that, he realized that he couldn't leave Bavel with any psulim over there. So before he left, he cleaned out Bavel and took all the psulim with him up to Eretz Yisrael. Because once they got to Eretz Yisrael, first of all, in the first generation, right, they had coming to Chachamim that came with them to solve the problem. And the following generation is of the Lishkan HaGazit. Right, Lishkan HaGazit is the center where they were bodek all the Kohanim Leviim for Yichus, and they would stay on top of the lineages that came up to Eretz Yisrael. So Ezra felt that it was more important to move all the psulim up there to Israel than to leave them behind in Bavel. So Itmar, Abaya Amar Alume Elehem Tanan, that Alu means that they did it voluntarily, that the psulim came voluntarily. Rav Amar He Alum Tanan, that Ezra actually forcibly took them out. He took them out of here.
And the Gersa is He Alum.
Right. So Kamiz Lekei, and they argue with Rabbi Elazar. They argue with on the position of Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Allah is Rami Bavel, Shasak Solud Nikiyah. Right, Zvela. Until he cleared it out. Abaye lately to Rabbi Elazar. Abaye says he didn't hold to this issue of Rabbi Elazar. Therefore he says that the psulim came voluntarily. It wasn't that they stayed behind. The reason that they came was because they figured they could get a new life. They move up there to Israel. And Bavel, they couldn't marry anybody because they were psulim. So they figured, hey, you know what? We'll hook up. If we get hide up with all these people going up there to Israel, maybe we'll be able to start a new life. Rabbi Yisrael to Rabbi Elazar. On the other hand, Rabbi held of Rabbi Elazar, and therefore he says, Ezra forced them to leave. He forced all the psulim to leave. Everybody holds the Rabbi Elazar that Ezra cleared them out. They argue, Marzar Efrushi Afrushinu, Umin Afshayu Salik. No, Rabbi holds that Ezra separated all the psulim. He identified all the psulim in Bavel, and then they left by themselves. Meaning that he went around before he left Bavel, and he said, I got to identify all the psulim so the people in Bavel will be aware of all the psulim in Bavel. But then once they did that, all those people decided to leave there to Joe. Martha Rabal Korchayu Eskinu. Not only did he identify them, but he also said, you gotta come with me. You gotta leave with me. Bishlam Alamandamar Alu. Or the one who says that they went up voluntarily. Hainu Damar Avu Damar Shmuel Kolaratzot Isal Eretz Israel. That all other lands are considered problematic Yichus towards Eretz Israel. Eretz Israel Isal Bavel. Right, and on the other hand, Eretz Yisrael is also Yisrael of Bavel. It's also problematic for Bavel. I mean, the highest form of Yichus will be found in Bavel, right, because all the Psulim left voluntarily from Bavel. But when they got to Eretz Yisrael, since they left voluntarily, it doesn't mean, it means that they weren't identified. They weren't clearly identified. They weren't clearly identified. That means that Eretz Yisrael does have some problems with Yichud, and therefore you have gradations of Yichud. All other lands will be the lowest form of Yichud. Then Eretz Yisrael will be the next level up, and Babel will be the highest level. So that makes sense. But if Ezra forcibly took them out of Eretz Yisrael, that means that when they got to Eretz Yisrael, they still knew about them. They still knew about them, then Eretz Yisrael should have the same classification as being of the highest form of Yichud. Under Hayalum, Mita Yadinu. Right, they knew about these problems. They knew the first generation, they knew where they were. The Darach, Mita Lo Yadai. After that generation, they start to lose track of them. Where it says, Bishlam, Adamanda Marlu. According to the Bible, it says, Alu, they went involuntary. Hadu Zichdiv. That's what it says in Ezra. The Ekabtein, of Anar, Abach. I went to the river. Haba El Ahava. That was this river. But it's in the Navi, it's written with a hay and an aleph. So it's El, and it's also aleph lam here. It's El Ahava, right? The Nachanesh Sham Yamim Shlosha. We will camp there for 3 days. Vavina Ba'am. And then I checked out who was there. Uba Kohanim, right? We found out the Kohanim and Bnei Levi Lo Matzati. Right? So I found out, checked out who the Kohanim there, and I didn't find any Levi. Right, so now, so that makes sense according to one who says that they were coming up voluntarily. That's why Ezra had to go out and check out who was there. Right, he had to look around and see what was there. The Mandamar Hilum, right, the one who said that they brought him up, Mizar Zirit, right, that he knew who he was bringing. I mean, if Ezra went around and specifically took people, he knows who's in the group of people there. Why is he checking out all of a sudden who's in the Am now? So right, this, he these are Bistulim. Now, he was careful about the psalim. He went ahead and made sure which psalim he was taking. B'ksher, below his tire. People who were kosher, he just, whoever came. Meaning that he didn't, that wasn't what he was after. He was after the psalim. So that's what he was careful about. That's what he was, medakdek about. But when it came to b'ksherim, he wasn't medakdek. When he got up there 3 days, he started to look and see, in the group of b'ksherim, who do I have here? And it turns out he only had kohanim and Yisraelim. He didn't have Levi'im. Right, if you didn't have your Levi'im, you should ask me a question right away. Our mission says, I saw Yuchsim Alumi Bavel. 10 people came up from Bavel. Kwanei, Levi'e, Yisraelei. One of the people that came up were Levi'im. They're over here.
They came voluntarily.
What?
They came.
No, but I'll go to one of
the things.
They didn't come. At all. So what's going on here, right? How can you have a mission that says that they came, and you have a pasuk that says there were no Bnei Levi'e? Lazy. Well, that's that Rashi brings over here. It's a very important Rashi. Rashi, it's the last narrow line in Rashi here. It says, what about the fact, now you have one pasuk that says Levi'im did come up, right? It says in there Levi'im went up, and you have another pasuk that says that the Levi'im, he didn't find any Levi'im. So what's going on here? So it says that the Avina Ba'am, and I found the Levi'im. Levi, so Yoshvim B'Bavel V'Shalva. They were living the good life in Bavel. V'Olim B'Yerushalayim, Hayu Ba'oni U'B'Torah Kamalacha. And living in Yerushalayim was a very, very difficult life, poverty, and difficult work. And they were fear of the surroundings. The only Levi'im that went up to Eretz Yisrael were Levi'im that were not qualified to do Avodah. They were Psulim. They're Psulim, and that has to do with a Rashi quote over here, a Gadata, about Al-Narod Bavel, that when they could no longer sing the Shir Tzion, right, they cut off their thumbs and their big toes, so they were no longer able to hold the instruments, and therefore these were the psulim. So they were the psulei Levi'im, who no longer could do avoda. They came up there to show, and they took on the hard life, because things, you know, they were already psulim. But the good, the good Levi'im, they were
hot. You would think that there was
right. So those Levi'im, right.
They felt strongly enough to cut off their thumbs, and they said that they would also be the ones who
returned to Israel. Whereas the ones, the Levi'im that were qualified to do Malacha and the Mikdash, they stayed behind because the life is good in Bavel. They didn't want to come to Israel. They didn't want to make Aliyah because of the good life they were going to leave behind. How do you know that Kohanim, Levi'im, and Israel went? Tichtiv says, "Vayishvu a Kohanim v'Levi'im min ha'am." So here, at the end of that parak, it says that they brought up Kohanim Levi'im, Minam, Vashorim, Vashorim, those that sang, those that closed the gate, Vanitinim, Bariam, Israel, Bariam, right? The Nitim in their cities, and all Israel in their cities. Then we know that at least Kohanim and Levi'im and the Am went up to Eretz Yisrael. The Chalalei, the Gemara says the next group of come out were Chalalei, Gerei, and Chavurei. Right, that was the next we were up. The Chalalim Minalan. How do we know that Chalalim went up? The Tani. Rabbi Yossi Omer Chazak Gedola Chazaka. Chazak is so great. Shenema. This is earlier in the Perek that we're talking about. It says, Bibnei Akoanim, Bnei Chabaya. Right, from the Kohanim, from the family of Chabaya, Bnei Akot, Bnei Barzilei Agiladi. Right, these are, Ashal Akach, we know it's Barzilei Agiladi Isha, by Yitorei Ashuma, and they were called by his name. Alright, and then, Ela Bikshuk Tabam, Hamit Yachat Mach, Hamit Yachsim, they went to look for their letters of Ichud, Velonim So, and they couldn't find them. Vigoalu Min Akuana, and they were forced away from the Kuana, they were despised from the Kuana. In that they were no longer classified as Kohanim Sheirim, because they didn't have their letters of Yichus. Vayoma Hatirshata Lahem. So Rashi tells us that Tirshata is a reference to Nehemiah. So he says them, Asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakadoshim. They are no longer allowed to eat from the korbanot. Adamot Kohen Urim Bitumim. Until we have a Kohen who has an Urim Bitumim, it can determine if they are Sheirim. And as Rashi says, saying to someone until there's a coin with the Roman Tumim is like saying until Mashiach comes. Yeah, that there's no way we're going to clarify this situation because there was no Roman Tumim in the second base of Mikdash. When it's saying about coin, you Tumim is that until Mashiach, you guys cannot participate in the Kodshim because you are a Kohanim that we don't have Ichus for. But, V'amar Lehem, Harei Atem Bechet Tatchem, V'amar Sheitim Ochlim B'Golah. So what it is, they were still allowed to eat that which they ate in the Golah, which is B'Kodshe Gvul. Afka Nami B'Kodshe Gvul. Also over here, you can eat in Kodshei Gvul. That's the whole statement. The whole statement here is that Chazaka is so strong that even though up now we don't have a letter of Yichus for them, despite that fact, so they're precluded from eating Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodeshim, from eating Korbanot, nevertheless, they are still entitled to eat Shuma because they eat Shuma in Babel. So that since they had a Chazaka of eating Shuma in Babel, they can continue with that Chazaka to eat Shuma in Eretz Israel. So that's the old manga.
Like not just can eat the truma, but that's an indication of what the understanding was.
Okay, so that's a good question. So there is a machlokas in 1 second. Right here, but we don't know if they're chalulim. We just don't have equals, and they just are totally the same.
So
So because of their chazak in Bavel, that allows them to eat in the Eretz. Gedalia's question is a good question. It's machlokas, right? In other places, like in Sibos and other places, that. I think Subhazir Yivamo said, whether you can be Ma'le Mishuma lo Yuchsin or not. And once someone is eating Truma, does that qualify or classify him as a full Kohen? And then we're going to treat him like a full Kohen? Or are you only Ma'le Miduchun, the Kohen? That only if they are doing Avodah in the Mikdash, then we classify them as full Kohenim. So I'm going to answer your question right now. Well, the Manda Amar Ma'le Mishuma lo Yuchsin. Right? According to the Manda says that if you're entitled to eat Truma already, you're classified as a full Kohen, and we don't question your Yichus anymore. Right? So, Hane Dokho Betruma Ataliskinu. If they're eating Truma in Eretz Israel, people are going to then say that they're full-fledged Kohanim, and they're going to put them in the Mikdash, allow them to do Avodah or eat Kochim. That's not the case here. But it says, Shani Hotam, Diriyah Chazkatayu. That already was known, it was well known, that the reason they're eating Truma was not because they were full Kohanim, but because there was questions about their lineage. So what it says, if that's the case, Elamai, right, Gidola Chazaka. Right, what does it mean that the Chazaka is so Gadol? I mean that, of course, they ate it in the Chazar, they ate here. There's nothing to talk about. Mar says, the Mikara ochol b'truma d'rabbanan. Truma in Babel is only midrabbanan. And nevertheless, the soap, when they got that cell, they were allowed to eat ochol b'truma d'oraisa. That's the Gedola Chazaka. The Chazaka that they ate truma d'rabbanan in Babel allows them to eat truma d'oraisa in Eretz Yisrael. Vivais ima d'olam hashinami d'rabbanan ochol b'd'oraisa l'ochol. No. Some people say that they're only allowed to eat Truma Derabbanan in Eretz Yisrael. What's Truma Derabbanan in Eretz Yisrael? Definitely Truma Derech. Right? Vegetables are Truma Zolmi Derabbanan, and probably payrolls also. Right? That's the only payroll, the only things that are Deoraisa is, right? Tvua, which is, and Yitzar, is Shemen, right? It's Tirosh, Yitzar, and Tvua, which are the three things that are Midoraisa and Truma. Right? So those are the things which will be, right? Wine, grapes, olives and oil, and tzvua is grain. Other than that, they're not going to be doraisa. So peros and your coat will be durabonon, and they'll be able to participate in that shuma be'eretz Yisrael. Right? Chimaskinem mitshuma yoksim midoraisa midurabanon lo maskinem. Therefore, it won't be a problem. Because when do we say that person who has qualified to eat shuma, we make them into a full-fledged kohen and say no questions about you? That's only if you're eating shuma min haTorah. But if you're only eating shuma midurabonon, nobody's going to make you into a full-fledged kohen. So Mar says, Yochi, my Gola Chazakah. What's the greatness of the Chazakah then? I mean, all they did was they ate Shuma Drabana and in Babel, now they're eating Shuma Drabana and in Eretz Yisrael. Nothing's changed. Where it says, if you go to like a mixer, I'm a shum tumor deraisa. But here by now, we can let them eat shum derabanan because there is no shum deraisa. There's no question that they might mix up and give them shum deraisa. They only have shum derabanan. So, after the mixer, even though when they reach there to show, there might be a havamina. So he goes there on them that if they eat shum derabanan, they might come to eat shum deraisa. Nevertheless, right? They didn't change their standing and they allowed them to continue eating shum derabanan. Okay? Mar says, "V'haktiv," and doesn't it say, "Vayomer hatirshat alahem, asher lo yuchlu mikodesh hakodeshim"? Right? That says that they're not allowed to eat from the kodesh hakodeshim. Because hakodeshim who lo yochal, how come meat they nechol? It sounds like anything else they could eat. It was only kodesh hakodeshim. Right? Even with the right, or even possibly kodesh. Right? Any matnos juna? Right? Things like that. V'rachi kamar lo. So it says, "No, that's what it means." Lo midei de mikre kodesh, the lo midei de mikre kodoshim. Right, not anything that's called kodesh, and not anything that's called kodoshim. What's called kodesh and what's called kodoshim? Lo midei de mikre kodesh, dichtiv, b'chol zar lo yochal kodesh. Those psukim are talking about truma. It says any zar may not participate in kodesh. That kodesh is a term of truma. So they may not eat of kodesh, which means they may not eat truma. Right, lo midei de mikre kodoshim. What are called kodoshim? Damakra. Ubatwein tiyel ish zar, he bichumata kodoshim lo tochal. Right, that when a daughter of a kohen goes out and marries an Israel or a Levi, which disqualifies her from getting the truma, then if she then is somehow returned to her father's house, she doesn't have children, she's divorced from her husband, she's once again entitled to eat truma. Right, as long as she doesn't have a child, she's going back to eating truma. What she's not allowed to do is, she may not be returned to eating Shumata Kodeshim. What's Shumata Kodeshim? Those are the Matnos Guna, Chazeh V'Shot, that come to the Kohen. Then, Kodeshim refers to the Matnos Guna of Chazeh V'Shot. So when it says, when the Artishasta said to them, you may not eat Mikodesh, or Mikodesh HaKodeshim, he says, you can't eat Shuma, and you can't eat Matnos Guna. Right, Ba'amar, the Muram in a Kodeshim lo tochal. That says, when you talk up the Kodesh, you can't eat. And therefore, they were disqualified from everything except Chuma Dirabanan, according to this second interpretation. So the two possibilities are, one, they ate Chuma Deoraisa. So even though they had eaten Chuma Dirabanan in Babel, they ate Chuma Deoraisa in Eretz Israel. Because, what? That's the Gola Chazakah. That's the greatness of the Chazakah that they overcame the gap of Dirabanan Deoraisa. Ah, what about the fact that some people say you can be Mala the Yuchsin from Chuma? Then they say, everybody knew about it. Since the reason they were eating only Chuma, because everybody knew they had a problem with the Yichus. It was a public event that they had a problem with the Yichus. Therefore, they wouldn't have that problem. On the other hand,
the reason they were only eating Chuma,
was because they couldn't document the Yichus. The other possibility, by saying, is that they only ate Chuma Drabonon in Eretz Yisrael as well as Babel. Ah, so then what's the greatness of the Chazakah? They just kept doing what they did before. The Chazakah is that even though in Babel there was no reason to be goes there because there's no Chuma Deraisa, nevertheless they were entitled to still eat Chuma Drabonon in Eretz Yisrael where there was Makom Lemah, the Gzor. And number two, how do you explain the pasuk of Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodeshim? We separate out to be a word Kodesh and Kodesh and Kodeshim. Chuma is referred to as Kodesh in the Torah in one place, and the Muram and Kodoshim, the Matnos Guna of Chazeh V'Shot, is also mentioned in the Torah called Kodoshim. And since those two are mentioned in the Torah in that manner, when Nehemiah said to them, right, Kodesh and Kodoshim, he meant Truma and Matnos Guna. That's what you are disqualified to.
Kodoshim refers to two things.
Two things, right, not one. All right, to answer Shaul's question about